Okay. Hey, this morning we are at WLBC Studios to talk with myself and Steve Lindell, who covered a court case recently. Steve covered the trial of Shane Shumate.
Right.
And I covered the sentencing of Shane Shumate. And we're here to talk about our experiences because this was a new pilot program put together by the Indiana Supreme Court, the Hoosier State Press Association, and the Indiana Broadcasters Association. So, Steve, since you started out with the trial, let's talk about, you know, how was that for you? What did you learn? Just tell me what happened.
Thanks, Mike. The Judge Voorhees court, where we were allowed to participate, first and foremost, they were very accommodating, which was very much appreciated. Indiana, as you've probably mentioned, is one of very few states that don't allow press to be live in the courtroom.
We're actually the only state that does not allow cameras in the courtroom.
There you go. Okay. We'd like for that to happen, we, radio and media, because of what, well, and again, you asked for my personal experience. The firsthand way of getting and gathering this information, I think, was more useful for me and our purposes than even I thought it might be. The firsthand situation of being there to hear, to see, to interact with quietly and respectfully, of course, I think gave a different kind of perspective to my reporting on this particular Shumate case that was just eye-opening and really invaluable.
Yeah, very educational. Yeah. You had in your story. Now you posted to Woof Boom News your experiences there, and you did a lot of writing in that particular article. Now you shot some photos too, yeah, and some audio. So mm-hmm. You had a mixture of media in that. How did you write that story? As you're observing, what did you write from a recording, or you take notes, or how did you approach the project?
I actually did both. Wrote from recordings and also kept copious notes during the actual courtroom time. I wanted to present a report, and several versions of reports. The day that I was there was the closing arguments by the prosecutor, prosecuting attorneys, and by the defense attorney. And then there was also the jury instructions from, in this case, Judge Marianne Voorhees. So I was able to hear those instructions. I've never sat on a jury before, personally, for instance, so I didn't quite know how that goes.
I have not either.
I've only seen it in movies or on TV, but, you know, sometimes that's not necessarily the depiction of what really happens. So I got to see it firsthand.
True.
So, again,
true.
This pilot program allowed us in the media to be able to see that firsthand. So I got to see the jury instructions, and my particular interpretation of that was I was amazed at how specific those were. And how long it took for, in this case, Judge Voorhees, to properly and legally, I assume, explain to the jurors what it was they were to consider and not consider, and the verdicts could be this or it could be that. Again, it was invaluable to see that and hear that firsthand. Then it was also interesting, again, not being there, you wouldn't know this, to see how and what each of the attorneys, prosecutors, and defense had to say about their various side of the case and the story. There was a lot in this particular instance of, and I'm sure you probably saw some of this or heard some of this, body cam video.
Yes.
Because it was the charge, one of the three charges was attempted murder of a police officer.
Right.
By the defendant, who was eventually convicted by the jury. And the body cam photos and video and audio was presented by each of the attorneys in such a way to obviously help their side of the case. And it was interesting, again, and eye-opening to see how that was couched, what portion of the video and audio was played and then stopped, and then an explanation would ensue. And the attorneys are clearly, you know, playing to the jurors, because they're trying to convince them just before they go in and right. deliberate one way or the other. And eventually, as we've mentioned, the conviction on all three counts is what the jurors came back with on that particular case.
My understanding later, I heard from someone who actually was on the jury, that different angles from different deputies' body cameras were shown. Did you happen to see different angles of different people on
yes,
the body cams?
Yes, absolutely. And again, without being in the room, the courtroom for the pilot program that allowed us in there for this particular case, you wouldn't get that perspective as a media member, would you?
Right.
And
right.
Again, I think it mattered in the totality of what turned out to be my reporting of the. And my presentation of the facts as I was seeing them firsthand, not from a press release. You know, I think that's different, too. That's right. That's useful to us, a press release, I mean.
Right.
But to be there
right.
and to be able to, you know, to see it firsthand and right. feel it almost sometimes, I thought
yes.
was really, really different and ultimately better for the sake of our consumers, which are the... Right. the listeners and or the readers of our web products, too.
Right. When I was covering the sentencing, I heard somebody weeping to the left of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to look over there.
Right.
I just wanted to continue doing my stuff. But when you talk about the feeling, there, you know, you get a feeling from being in trial. From my side of the sentencing, you know, I wanted to get to this later, but the body cams, there were a lot of people after I published what I published who said the body cams were not used, and there was a controversy of comments that people said that
I remember when they wrote that on the thread of
yeah,
your articles.
Yeah. So.
But you and I both know that they were certainly used in court.
Yes, and I think that, you know, we have to remember that we were there for a day, half a day, whatever. I don't know how many jurors were there.
I didn't count. There were the normal, the standard number plus alternates. I don't remember exactly how many.
But they were there for 4 days.
Roughly, yeah.
8 hours a day.
Yeah.
They heard everything, mm-hmm. and they came up. And agreed mm-hmm. with the verdict.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the justice system, you know, ran its course and did what it's supposed to. Now, you may not agree with it, and there were a lot of people that did not agree with the sentencing.
The other part of, I think, the pilot program that we're talking about and
yes.
my and your experience with it as reporters in this case, the one thing that I took from your perspective when you covered the sentencing part
yes.
was the photos and or the video, I thought, on MuncieJournal.com and WolfBoomNews.com augmented the presentation on the radio that we were able to make, again, because we were firsthand in the room, when, for instance, you showed either video or a photograph
a video.
Or both of the defendant, the now convicted
yes.
defendant, walking in the room with the shackles and
yes.
the handcuffs and everything.
Yeah.
You know, that was your day when you were there for sentencing. When I was there, he had not been convicted at the beginning of that day,
uh-huh.
so he's in a shirt and tie, the defendant,
yeah.
and he left the room, asked if he could go use the restroom, and he was able to go out and use the restroom in the hallway and come right back.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, again, for the firsthand, our eyes on the system in this case,
uh-huh.
as soon as he was convicted at the end of the day that I was there, the jury came back with a verdict 3 hours later, he was placed into handcuffs and brought immediately to the jail facility. Sentencing came a little while later that you covered. But again, you talk about the feelings that you get being able to see that transgression of the system and how it works. That was another part that, you know, that I was it was eye opening again. I don't mean to be redundant, but it really was.
I agree with that. It was kind of sad when he came in and had to you know, it was like on television. You know, I didn't expect him to be all shackled up.
It felt
like
we were watching a bit of a movie almost. Yeah. But that was real. I mean, that was really how it was happening, and we were allowed to witness that and report on it firsthand. I truly hope that the Indiana State Supreme Court can work with the Hoosier Press Association and the IBA and anybody else that needs to be consulted, that we can continue to be allowed to do this kind of coverage, Mike, because it was very valuable.
I was just honored to be able to do it for a couple of reasons. When my degree is in journalism from Ball State, and when I went to school, I took a couple of classes with a guy named Joseph Costa, who was famous back in the day for politicking for cameras in the courtroom. He was really an advocate for that. So I thought of Joe Costa a lot when I was in there with my cameras recording. And I spent a lot of time before I went there to decide, well, how am I going to cover this? Am I going to take pictures? Am I going to do an audio recording? And I ended up deciding just to shoot video of it because that covered all the bases. I've got an audio record. I can get stills out of it, and I can show video.
Yeah.
The problem was I had never. I've done a lot of stuff in media, but I have never used my camera to shoot long form video. It's not designed for that. And every 20 minutes, the camera shuts off because the sensor overheats, and it's not really designed to shoot an hour.
Yeah.
So, I shot 13 different segments that are files where you stop and start the camera, and then assembled those together so it looked like one long video.
Huh.
I didn't do any editing of the video. I didn't do any retouching. I didn't mess with any of the audio.
Right.
I said that when I posted it.
Yeah.
So it was as transparent as I could be of what the thing was.
Sure.
So, you know, my thoughts were it was very easy to film in there. Nobody seemed to mind.
That was one of the things that I'm sure they asked you, too, as far as the trial, the pilot program. They wanted to know from us.
Yes, yes.
Did anybody react or respond or, you know, play to the camera or play to the microphone? I didn't see any of that whatsoever. Did you?
No.
They
sent us, I assume you got one, too, a little survey after we were there.
Yeah.
And it covered kind of those things. Were you uncomfortable? Was anybody upset that you were there? Now, the one thing that I thought about I called ahead of time to see if we would be escorted to our cars by security people.
Ah.
Because I had the camera. You've got some valuable things there.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen later. But we felt safe. I felt safe. And
I
so
did
I didn't ask.
I felt safe, too. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So anyway, to just kind of to wrap up my part, after the video was posted, there were a lot of comments from family members. I think the Shane Shoemate's father might have been the one who did the most. But, you know, obviously the family members are upset that their son had been convicted.
Sure, understood. And
36 years, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of commenting, and that story and that video and all that activity lasted about a week. Now, normally the news things we publish, you know, the news stories got good for a day or two maybe, but it was up for a week. One thing that was interesting to me that I wouldn't expect, I started getting Facebook requests and friend requests from other people who had trials coming up who wanted me to record their trials.
Wishing for coverage
of their
trial.
Yes.
I understand. Yeah.
So you
surprising,
know,
maybe the public appreciated that kind of access for news coverage.
We can certainly tell the Supreme Court that might be something. So anyway, the only other thing I would say really is that having covered the sentencing, it made you feel like you should have been at the trial itself, because not knowing what happened there made understanding what was going on with the sentencing a little more difficult. And I read your stories a number of times, but not being at the first one made it more difficult, I think, to grasp some of the realities of the court sentencing. So
I was as you said, used the word honored. I was honored that, sure, in this case, Judge Voorhees allowed us and allowed the pilot program, right, to be in her court. Her court was only one of a handful statewide.
Yeah, five.
That even allowed that to transpire. Right. And COVID also got in the way of some of that, because during the window of opportunity for the pilot program, there were some, yes, more COVID restrictions and so on. The courts were shut down for some period of time, and then there were restrictions with how many people were allowed in the courtroom, et cetera. So she made certain, Judge Voorhees and her staff, that we were able to continue and execute the pilot program was to their credit and right, very much appreciated as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, I think they'll decide to keep this going. I certainly hope so. And I hope the folks that have listened to us talk about it realize that cameras in the courtroom is something that shows the transparency of what's happening in our courts. It's a fascinating topic, one we could cover more lately. But, Steve, thanks for sharing your thoughts this morning.
And, absolutely.